Most investors have heard the disclaimer, past performance is no indication of future results. We sure hope that's true for 2023. Hi, I'm Rob West. We're a couple of weeks into the new year, and there's one thing most of us can agree on. We'd sure like it to be better than last year. But will it? I'll talk about that today with Bob Dahl, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest is my good friend Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer with Crossmark Global Investments. And Bob, it's great to have you back with us on the program.
Happy New Year, Rob, and to all the listeners.
Happy New Year to you. Now, Bob, as you know, you usually give us a short-term look at what's happening with the markets and the economy as a whole when you join us each week. But once a year, you put your 10 predictions for the coming 12 months out. And so because it's that time again, we thought we'd take a little bit more time and dive into those. But before we do, perhaps just give us a thumbnail sketch of what happened in 2022. It was quite a year.
It was quite a year, one that many of us would like to forget, given the negative signs in front of almost everything. For the stock market, Rob, you know it was a tug of war. In fact, that was our theme coming into 2022, between, on the one hand, the tailwinds associated with good earnings and the valuation headwinds associated with rising inflation and interest rates. In fact, the first 6 months of last year is the first time ever that the stock market went down more than 20% while earnings expectations were going up. Strange period. We have lots of volatility all year long in both directions, mostly down in the first half and then both up and down in the second half as we watched and anticipated every breath of all central bankers, it seemed. As you know, it was the first time in 50 years that stocks and bonds both had negative returns for the first three quarters of the year. We expected a down year for, you remember our predictions for first of last year, but yes, not 25% bear market. Ouch. Really difficult period. Valuation compression, as I intimated earlier, as bond yields went up because inflation and concern about the Fed, that really summarized not only the year, but at least the first half of the year in spades. The price-earnings ratio for the stock market hit its high literally on January 3rd at 22 times earnings. And so far, the low has been October 12th, 15 times earnings. So a big decline in valuation levels from expensive to not cheap, but more reasonable. Sentiment, as measured by the bull-bear ratio, fell to a bear market low of 0.57 in mid-October. As you know, Rob, when you get the reading below one, it's generally a good time to be buying for long-term investors. So the back and forth with the Fed, you know, the anticipation, maybe the Fed's going to stop raising rates soon, and we get a rally. We saw a big rally June to the middle of the summer, and then another one the back part of the year. But then the Fed would have a meeting, and the air would come out of the balloon, and the market would go back down. So the path of least resistance was sadly lower almost all year, with a couple of important bounces along the way.
Wow, that's a great summary, Bob. And yeah, the big question now is, where do we go from here? So let's dive into your first prediction for 2023 before we head into our first break. Your theme is the Fed calls the shots. I'm not surprised to hear that given the importance of the Fed as of late. But your first prediction is that the U.S. experiences a shallow recession as real GDP is in the bottom 10 of the last 50 years. What do we need to know there?
Yeah, so there are three possibilities for the economy. An outright normal average recession. We think that's not a high probability for lots of reasons, including cash on consumer balance sheets. The other extreme would be we kind of have a soft landing and sail through. The in-between is a recession, but not a big one. That's what we think is going to happen.
Okay, very good. Well, we've got to hit our first break here. We're talking to Bob Dahl today, Chief Investment Officer with Crossmark Global Investments. Every year, Bob puts out his 10 predictions for the coming 12 months. It's a sought-after analysis of where we could be heading over the balance of this year. We'll unpack the other 9 predictions just around the corner, and then, of course, your questions beyond that. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What are the 2 greatest words in all the Bible? Jesus Christ comes to mind because, as Peter says in the book of Acts, no other name has been given by which we might be saved. By faith? That's a contender, since it's by faith we enjoy all of the Lord's grace and mercy. But there's an often overlooked phrase that captures our Lord's love perfectly. But God, the Apostle Paul had just described human beings dead in sin, lost in darkness, enemies of life. But God, rich in mercy and love. But God, he intervened by sending Jesus Christ for us. Our faith even hinges on these 2 great words. But God, dead, lost, sinful, yes, but God. But God. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Is something missing in your spiritual life since you stopped going to church? Jesus never intended for us to live the Christian life alone. He wants us to be a part of a spiritual family of believers. Maybe you stopped going to church because you got hurt or disillusioned. Maybe you got offended or busy, or maybe sin got a foothold in your life. Perhaps COVID made you stop. Whatever the reason, isn't it time you started going again? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my good friend Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer with Crossmark Global Investments. Bob has recently published his 10 predictions for 2023. That's right. Each year he puts out a list of predictions for the coming year with regard to the markets and the economy. And I know most folks are always interested up and down Wall Street and what Bob has to say. And we're unpacking them for you today. Before the break, prediction number 1 was that we would see a shallow recession here in the U.S. in the coming year. Bob, prediction number 2 will be a welcome sight for everyone, and that is that inflation falls substantially but remains above the Fed's target. Why do you think we'll see inflation continue to ease up?
There are lots of things that have happened or occurred because people did things like the Fed raising rates. It does slow the economy. Some of the supply chain problems we've talked about so much have gotten resolved. We've had oil prices go up a lot last year and then come back down. they're unlikely to create a whole lot of tailwind for inflation. So the inflation level is falling noticeably. It already started the back part of 2022, as we know. Now we have to keep it going. Sadly, though, it's not going to get to the Fed's 2% target.
Yeah, yeah. So that elevated inflation is going to be with us for a while. All right. You also say, as prediction number three, the Fed funds will reach 5% and remain there for the balance of the year. What does that mean for our listeners?
Well, it means that the Fed's not finished. Let's start there. They have further to go. And then the market expectations at the back part of the year, they will begin to reduce rates. We're not convinced that enough progress will be made on inflation for the Fed to say, let's lower rates again. So it means the economy stays slow, even in recovery.
All right. And that really leads to earnings expectations, which is at the heart of prediction number four. You say you expect earnings to fall short of expectations in 2023. Why is that?
So cost pressures and shortfall in revenues is the easy answer. But I think whether the economy has a soft landing, a hard landing, or are in between mild recession, I think estimates are just too high. Analysts are probably waiting for companies to tell them to lower the estimates. They're going to come down, Rob.
Interesting. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on that. All right. This next one is interesting, Bob. You say, as prediction number five for 2023, that no major asset class will go up or down by a double-digit percentage for only the fourth time this century. Why do you expect a sideways market with regard to every asset class?
Yeah, that's cash, stocks, and bonds, obviously. Cash is the easy one. The other two, well, who knows? But our view is that there are going to be so many cross currents and lots of volatility, but like the second half of 2022, in a narrow sort of range. This prediction does not have high probability of coming true because it doesn't happen very often. Usually, 80% of the time, stocks or bonds are up or down a double-digit percentage. So we're threading the needle on this one. We'll see, Rob.
Okay, very good. We're talking to Bob Dahl about his 10 predictions for 2023. And number six, Bob looks at winners and losers from a sector standpoint. What do you have for us there?
You know, this one's a mouthful. The three sectors we like for outperformance: energy, a repeat from 2022, consumer staples, and financials. On the other side of the ledger, utilities, technology, controversial group, and communication services. If that happens, value stocks probably do better than growth stocks. That's that prediction.
Yeah. So obviously, prior to last year, technology was just raging. I mean, we talked all about the FANG stocks so often. That was one of the key drivers of the bull market over the last decade. You think the trend that started last year with technology being out of favor will continue?
We do. We think there's more air to come out of the earnings balloon for technology stocks. A lot of them are still fairly expensive, overowned, so we think there's some indigestion that will continue in that sector.
All right. Quickly to the remaining predictions. This one's interesting. The average equity manager beats the index in 2023. That's not often the case. We hear a lot about indexing. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, so for a little bit of history, the last decade, you're right, index funds beat active managers almost every year. The decade before was just the opposite. And if you look at long-term history, we're making a slide that shows over the last 100 years, since the S&P 500 started, it's about 50-50. There are conditions when active managers do better. It's generally when interest rates are rising and more normal, not artificially set at zero like the Fed did for much of the last decade.
Interesting. All right. Prediction number eight, looking globally now, you say international stocks will outperform the U.S. for the second year in a row. Why so?
For starters, underscore, in 2022, international went down less than the U.S. A lot of people don't recognize that or agree with it, but you look at the numbers and it's there. We think the international markets are a lot cheaper than the U.S. They have lots of problems, don't get me wrong. But a lot of people are zero or underweighted international, and we think that deserves a place in the portfolio.
Interesting. All right, let's stay with the global landscape here for prediction number nine. You say India will surpass China as the world's largest population and the fastest growing large economy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, a fascinating one. China gets all the attention, and not that we shouldn't pay attention to China for a whole lot of reasons, but India doesn't get nearly enough attention. It will be the largest populated country in the world by the end of this year, and is growing rather quickly. So more and more attention will go to India as the years go by.
Fascinating. All right. And then you usually have one related to the political landscape. And that's where we round out prediction number 10 with your prediction that a double digit number of candidates will announce for president in 2023. Why so many?
Well, you know, everybody wants to run for president, at least everybody in Washington, D.C., it seems. Look, if Joe Biden does run for another term, it's going to be tough to get this one right. But if he bows out for whatever reason, this one will come true. There are lots of wannabes. We'll see how many of them declare. It's sad that the ink's barely dry on the 2022 elections, and we're talking about 2024 already.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, Bob, we've got about a minute left to sum this up for us as we talk about where we're headed for 2023.
I'd say the most important point we have to watch is the Fed. Our theme for this year is the Fed calls the shots.
Yeah.
If the Fed insists on 2% inflation, which is what they are saying, I don't see how we avoid a recession. If, on the other hand, they acquiesce and say, you know, maybe it should be 3 and 4 is close enough to 3. Maybe we can blink here. We may get through with a soft landing. The Fed calls the shot. That's the all kinds of other important points. Watch the earnings outlook, as we talked about a few minutes ago. But our guess is this is going to be not as difficult as 2022 to make money, but it's not going to be simple, and we'll have a lot of volatility along the way.
Yeah, no doubt about that, which is the reason why we need to stay disciplined with our investment strategy, not try to pick entry points and exit points, but really keep a long-term perspective, right?
Well said. We forget in talking about the market, and I'm guilty of at least 10 predictions. We focus on the short term when people need to understand, why am I investing? What is my long-term horizon? And stick to it, not get caught up in the intermediate moves that can scare people.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Bob, always appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer for Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. We'll be right back.
Even if you're not a football fan, chances are good you heard about what happened to Damar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills. In response, ESPN's Dan Orlovsky put his faith into action and led a prayer for DeMar live on the air. Such a refreshing change. Please join us as we pray for DeMar's recovery. And will you take time to sign our petition thanking Dan for boldly exercising his faith in front of millions of people? Stop by AFA.net today.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's time to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. Our team is standing by today. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got a couple of lines open, perhaps one for your question today. 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Virginia. John, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. So I'm turning 21 in March, and I'm a senior college student studying computer science. Throughout my years of college, I've received full financial aid, so I had to pay nothing. And over this time, I've saved $10,000, and I'd like to invest that, but I don't want to lose my financial aid. I'll be graduating, but I'm a prospective PhD student.
Yes.
So I'd like to ask, how can I invest without losing my financial aid? And what should I do with that money?
Yeah, very good. John, is your financial aid needs-based or merit-based?
Need-based.
Need-based? All right. Yeah, the expected family contribution, which factors in your assets and that of your parents, is recalculated each year. And so if it's needs-based, students are expected to contribute up to 20% of their assets to pay their own college education. So that asset, regardless of whether or not it's invested, will affect your expected family contribution and the aid that's available. So it really is not a matter of, you know, whether or not you put it to work. It really is, it's already your asset, so it's already going to be a part of the calculation as you report that. In terms of how to put that to work, I love this idea of investing it so that you're not losing purchasing power on it. And the way I might think about that, John, is in terms of buckets of money. And so maybe that first bucket is your emergency savings, that which you'll fall back on if you have unexpected expenses. And then maybe a second bucket is money that you'll use in 1 to 5 years, maybe for a down payment, a first, last, and security for an apartment, or if you needed to purchase a car, you know, something that's, you know, fairly short term, but, you know, it's not going to happen right away. And I'd probably keep that in a liquid savings account where you're earning some interest, but you don't have the risk of loss. And then there's money that you're going to actually, you know, invest for the longer term. I'd be looking greater than 5 years, preferably even 10 years or more. And there you could start a Roth IRA. That would be a great, you know, idea for you as a young man with a lot of time on your side. I mean, you're, you know, perhaps if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, 45 years or more away from retirement. Imagine if you began to systematically contribute to a Roth IRA each year. You could put in $6,500, up to $6,500 this year, as long as you have earned income. And that would be a great way to get that money working for you on a tax free basis in terms of the growth. It would be after-tax dollars going in. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Oh, that sounds good. I have a Roth IRA with a few thousand set up, and I work part-time while studying, so I make like about $600 a month working part-time.
Okay.
So, yeah, I like that idea of putting it into buckets. I was also thinking about investing in real estate. I don't know if that's something too early or given my situation, but I have a good credit score, and I was wondering if it would be something feasible to do some work in real estate.
Sure.
lot studying.
Yeah, I like real estate a lot. I just think we have to be careful there just because you don't want to go into that too early and obligate yourself beyond what you're able to cover. Let's say we were to get into a recession and you're counting on rental income or something like that, and it doesn't materialize. I don't want you to put the rest of your financial life in jeopardy. So perhaps that's a goal to pursue a bit further down the road. I think right now, if you could just shore up your more liquid savings for emergencies and the short term, and then be a faithful contributor to that Roth IRA, especially while the stock market is down quite a bit from its highs. You know, we're still a couple of thousand points away from our all-time high on the Dow Jones. This is a great time to be dollar cost averaging into the market, especially through that Roth IRA, given that you have, it sounds like, enough earned income to max that out this year at $6,500. And then if you were to start saving, perhaps for your own home purchase first, and then beyond that, you know, perhaps looking to build a real estate portfolio. I think that could be great. I just don't want you to get over leveraged, borrowing a lot of money, and, you know, the unexpected comes, especially given that we are looking at the prospect of a recession and we just don't know how severe it's going to be this year. I'd probably wait on real estate investing until you're a bit further down the road, out of college, completing your graduate studies, and perhaps into your career with a bit more disposable income. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, all the best to you, John. Let's do this. You stay on the line. We'll get your information. I want to send you a book. It's called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And I think it'd be a great resource for you as you begin to learn God's way of handling money. And as you, really lean into this whole idea of investing, it'll be a great primer for you. So again, it's called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook, and we'll get a copy right out to you. Thanks so much for your call today. To Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Marie, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question in regards to a fixed index annuity. I'm 57 years old, and I've been approached. I don't want to go out into the market, obviously, at this point to invest in funds. I don't need these funds over the next 7 years, and I understand it locks in for 7 years. But I do have concerns if this is a good path for investing. I have some other funds that I'm investing through certificate of deposits right now that will mature in 18 months and 24 months. But again, I don't need these funds if I were to invest in this fixed index annuity in the near future. And if I wait till 8 years, I'd be just fine. The fees involved were a little concerning to me because you pay the advisory fee and then also a fee evidently to Allianz annually of 1.25.
Got it. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, Marie. That was really helpful background. As soon as we come back, I'll weigh in. Plus, your question. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free faith and finance account. Just visit faithfi.com and click sign up.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. We've got some lines open. What are you thinking about today? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. No matter your financial question, again, the number 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Marie in Sioux Falls. And Marie, you indicated you were looking at purchasing a fixed index annuity. You're 57, still working. The money would be locked up for 7 years. You don't need the money. Give me a breakdown of the investable assets that you have, including this particular amount that you were looking to put into the fixed annuity.
This fixed annuity would be a value of $200,000.
Okay.
I have in those certificates of deposits another $350,000.
Okay.
And then I've left some liquid funds as well that, again, I wouldn't really need, but I'm just leaving set aside for now.
Okay, very good.
And I still work.
Okay, and do you have a company-sponsored plan, or are you self-employed?
I do have a 401k as well, and they do invest up to 6%, and I'm contributing 19% of my income into that.
Wow. Okay, great. So you're putting away quite a bit. It sounds like you have, you're living modestly. You've got a good bit of margin. What is currently in the 401k?
$275,000.
Okay, very good. And do you like the idea of being a little more, you know, stable? You know, the idea behind annuities is they have their place. They're not my first choice because they tend to be a bit complicated. As you said, you tend to lock up your money, but you're trading essentially potential gain for security. And so if you want to transfer the risk to the insurance company, you know, you'd have, if you put $200,000 into this fixed indexed annuity, you'd have about $650,000 in guaranteed investments between the CDs and the annuities. And then you'd have, you know, nearly $300,000 in your 401k. Obviously, you're contributing a good bit to that. So if you continue to work, you know, let's say over the next 8 years or so, you're going to continue to build that. So you'd have both of these buckets, in a sense, growing for you, which is a good thing. And given that you're probably close to, if not maxing out that 401k every year, given that you're putting in 19%, the other benefit, I think, in your case to the fixed indexed annuity is you get the tax deferral, which is a great supplement to the tax deferral you're getting in that 401k. So I think this can make some sense as long as you understand that, as to your point, you're locking that money up and that, you know, you're trading potential upside in the investments for that guarantee, which brings with it some peace of mind. So I don't see any problem with this overall strategy. In fact, I think it perhaps solves what you're looking for if you're looking to stay on the more conservative end with a good portion of your long-term investable assets. Does that all make sense?
Yes, and I am inclined to stay on that conservative end. So okay. That's true. what you're leading towards. Yep.
Very good. Well, I think you've got lots of buckets working for you. I think perhaps the next question for you is, you know, what is your financial finish line? And if you haven't done any planning to that end, I think that might do you some good as well. Just, you know, spending time with a certified Kingdom advisor, someone who on, you know, a planning basis, not who's going to take over management of these assets necessarily, but somebody who could, you know, come in and do some retirement projections for you just to say, what is your ultimate goal? And are you on track? Are you perhaps over accumulating toward that goal? And could you even, you know, take a portion of this and redirect it toward other priorities, giving additionally, or some other, you know, a project or goal that you have? Now, you may find that, no, I'm right on track. Maybe I started a little later, and so I'm playing some catch up here. But I think just having that planning alongside the great work you're doing to put money away for the long term could give you some added peace of mind as well. And whether that's an existing advisor or one that you would seek out, I think that would go a long way. But overall, I think you've got a great plan here, Marie, and we appreciate you being a part of the program. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Tennessee. Hi, Stanley. Go right ahead. How can I help you?
Hey, I just had a couple questions. So I'm 45 years old. We own two small farms, and when I say small, they're 200 acres here in Tennessee.
Okay.
And we also got a hog operation. We have just become debt-free, and I was trying to decide or figure out what the Lord would have us to do as far as further investing, whether we should put in another hog operation, buy more real estate, or we got one farm that's on a decent highway that we're considering putting in rental apartments, and that would be building from the ground up. Or at the same time, I do have three kids, age 16, 12, and 6, and I don't feel like being overly obligated or too busy at this point. Do you have any advice for me?
Yeah, well, you've got a lot of things going on, Stanley, not the least of which is the farming, the hog operation, and those kids that are a blessing from the Lord. I like what you said there right at the tail end, and that is, I don't want to be overcommitted in terms of my time, and only you would know both how, you know, the business that you've been operating is working out for you in terms of whether you should try to expand that, how much time that's currently placing on you, and the trade-off, if you were to add more farming or hog operations, and what that might do just in terms of your time available for those kids that are going to be growing up quickly and out of the house before you know it. I've got four, and my oldest is a senior in high school, so I know what that's like, and it seems like there's never enough time. And so perhaps this is a time, Stanley, for you to diversify away from additional farming or hog activities into some more passive investments, given that you said you're now debt-free, which is great. You're still working. Hopefully you have a good bit of margin or profit being thrown off by the business. And so maybe this is a time to begin building passive investment assets that could be working for you into the future. Clearly down the road, you'd be able to sell the farm and the hog operations. But, you know, what if you were to open a SEP IRA and start pumping some of that money in there? So you've got the ability to take advantage of this stock market that's down right now. I like the idea of real estate. It would just come down to kind of what reserves you have and what you have available that's liquid for the construction, because I just want to make sure you don't get overextended in terms of being over levered and counting on a healthy, robust economy that's going to, you know, keep that rental property or properties full and, you know, put you in a situation where now you're overextended or it's taken a whole lot more time than you expected. So give me your thoughts on all that, though.
Very good. Very good. So I basically have a seventh grade education, and I've been doing farming all my life. So that's what I know, farming and construction. My dad built houses. Any of the rental properties, we plan to go in debt without debt. So
great.
Currently, you know, we got, you know, $150,000 annual that we need to be investing or buying. I'm just a little bit scared of the stock market and everything.
Sure.
Like that, simply because farm assets have, especially in the last 3 years, just you know, just going through the roof as far as value and so forth. So we've had real good success with real estate, and, you know, we got a couple rental houses and so forth. So that's always You know, I lean toward that. But as far as me personally stretching myself out further, I would have to delegate the building and all that kind of stuff. Because at this point, you know, we were also into foster care, and that's an overwhelming amount of activity and things to do. So I don't really want to stretch myself. Investing sounds like the easiest thing, but I don't understand investing. Obviously, I'd have to go through a reputable company that would help me with that.
Yeah. And I think, you know your business really well. You've been around real estate a long time. You've been around farming a long time, so you know what you're doing there. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air, and I'll see if I can help you a bit further. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Are you really worshiping God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
So you can come to church and you can dress up nice and you can sing all the songs and you can stand up and you can clap and you can say praise the Lord. And people around you can say, oh, look how they love God next to me. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Learn how to fall in love with God and find real worship. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, that question is one we all wrestle with. Just before the break, Stanley was saying, how do I balance being a good steward and trying to grow the business and yet being available for my family? And especially when you have little ones at home, the key is to find that work rest rhythm and balance. You know, God created us to be workers. Adam was a worker before the fall of man. So we're to be productive and take God's creation and order it and improve it. And we're to work as unto the Lord. And that's a blessing from the Lord. But at the same time, we want to be able to invest in the relationships that are most important to us. And so I think finding that rhythm through accountability and having others that we can lean on and perhaps look into our lives and saying, you know, how am I doing in this area? Do I need to back off a little bit? Or, you know, do I have my priorities right in line? I think that's something we need to constantly be evaluating. And perhaps here at the start of a new year, it's a great time for us each to say, am I spending enough time at home with the blessing of the family that God has entrusted to me? Stanley, we'll be praying for you as you think through all of that and make your decision. 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, let me mention a really exciting campaign we're doing here at American Family Radio. You'll hear us talking about it all week, and we're talking about preborn ministry. Preborn supports hundreds of pregnancy crisis and Christian pregnancy clinics across the country, providing free life-saving services like ultrasounds. The ministry of Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. These centers provide mothers who choose life, maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling. All of it is provided free of charge. And here at American Family Radio, we're partnering with Preborn Ministry to bring more exposure to their great work. And so here's what we're asking of you today. You are the hero of every Preborn baby in this nation and an ambassador for eternal life for every mom, dad, and family that walks into every preborn partner clinic. When you give a gift of, well, $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. And so we would just ask that you'd prayerfully consider partnering with us to support this incredible ministry, again, preborn, as we partner here at American Family Radio. If you'd like to respond and become a part of this, two ways you can do that. The first is a toll-free number. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate directly to Preborn Ministry at afr.net. And we thank you in advance for this exciting partnership that we have. All right, let's head back to the phones today. We'll talk to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. Just driving across Texas here, listening to your program on the way home. And I am self-employed. I pretty much run debt-free. I've got a great support network. So just finally reached that age 51. And I'm looking for ways to kind of hedge my losses that I've been experiencing over the past years. My portfolio basically lost about 40%. So I'm looking for things that...
I'm losing you a bit there, Mike. Hopefully we'll get you back here and let you continue this. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
go right
yeah,
ahead.
I just don't have a whole long horizon, you know? I mean, my work horizon's not the same as it was 30 years ago.
Sure. Yeah, and so you're looking for how you can kind of make up for lost time with regard to investing?
Yeah, that or something that might be, I mean, with all the economic pending doom and gloom that's going on, you know, something to kind of hedge my losses or maybe diversify into something that might be a little more stable. I mean, you look at some of the blue chip stocks and everything, and it's all 3%, 5%, and 4% growth. I mean, that'd take me a whole lifetime to get anywhere with that, you know?
Yeah.
I've got a few $1,000 extra per month, easy cash flow that I could just give away to people on the streets if I wanted to. Which I do at times. Jesus said, feed my children. So I love to feed people sometimes. But I'm looking for ways to kind of take care of myself too.
Yeah. What are you considering in terms of the investment options you're looking at?
That's the problem is right now, I mean, everything that I used to think was sound and true, I just, you know, they're just not performing. I mean, the funds and things like that, they're losing value. And like I said, I'm down about 40%. So I've kind of just tossed my hands up here. And I know I'm not in my realm at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think this might be a good time for you, Mike, to connect with an advisor who can help you manage that. I mean, 40% obviously is a good bit. I realize that's probably weighing on you quite a bit. That's quite a bit more than the market is down, more than double. And so I think, you need to look at what you've been investing in. And I still think that's going to be the very best place to build wealth, a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, unless you want to look to real estate as an alternative there. You know, I really want to caution you against trying to make up for lost time through a get-rich-quick mentality. You know, a lot of folks calling us around the excitement of crypto and saying, well, maybe this is a time in early stage for me to jump in. But that's really more of a speculative type investment. I mean, incredible volatility there and lots of downside just as we work our way through kind of what the future of that is going to look like, especially with still quite a bit of lack of clarity on government regulation and oversight there. So I would say, you know, given that we don't like to buy at the top all the time, you know, in any other case, buying at a discount is something we typically would welcome. And for some reason, you know, when it comes to stock market investing, when the market's down, we tend to think, well, maybe I need to stay away, when in fact, that's the time to buy stocks at a much better price to earnings ratio than, let's say, a year ago. So I would say do a couple of things. Number one, just be diligent in continuing to keep your lifestyle in check. So you have that margin that you've been enjoying to this point. That's great. Good work in doing that. But then secondly, let's seek some wise counsel with somebody who can really help you build a portfolio and manage it in such a way that makes sense for your goals and objectives. And they can help you determine where on the risk spectrum you should be and hopefully leverage the growth of the most attractive stocks and sectors moving forward as this economy recovers. And I think it will over the balance of this year. So I'm going to encourage you to reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Montana. You can find one at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. And I think, Craig, if you were to get this money going into a portfolio that you could dollar cost average into the market, expand what you've already got, and perhaps reposition the investments that you already have that have lost quite a bit of value, analyzing why you're down more than the market and what you need to do to make changes to your current portfolio, plus what you can add to it, which, by the way, when you're investing now, you're buying in at lower prices, which means the same investments are buying more shares that have the potential to recover down the road. So I'd probably stick with this plan, continue to be a disciplined investor. And even though it seems like you're trying to make up for lost time, you've still got some time for compounding to work in your favor. And I think you'll be happy with where you land over time. We appreciate you checking in with us, my friend. God bless you, and you be safe out there on the roadways. Let's head to Montana. Craig, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. Two questions. My wife and I'd like to set some money aside for our grandkids' education.
Yeah.
What the best strategies would be for that?
Yeah, very good. I'm a fan of the 529 education savings plan, Craig. It's a great way to save on a tax-deferred basis, and it's getting more attractive because as a part of some recent legislation, which I'm not a fan of the legislation, but there were a few nuggets in there related to retirement savings and 529s that actually were positive. And one of those is, you know, you could always get your money back on a pro rata basis for scholarships and grants, but moving forward, starting in 2024 with unused money in a 529 plan, it could be rolled out with some limitations to a Roth IRA, which just gives you the ability to save knowing that this money can be used for college, but if it's not, it could be put into a retirement plan. The key is, what's the best 529 savings plan for you based on what you're trying to accomplish and the benefits you could get, not only in performance, but also in state tax deductions, which is possible. So what I would do is head to my favorite website to analyze this. It's savingforcollege.com. And you'll be able to run through a series of questions, and they'll actually recommend the top 529 plans for you, because you don't have to stay with the 529 plan in your state. You can go outside your state, and they'll look at the in-state benefit of using the Montana 529, but they'll compare that against what you might add in the way of performance just based on how these 529s have been performing outside of Montana. And then you can decide. But that'd be a great place as you divide up what you have available for the grandkids for you to drop a systematic amount into that 529 each month, let that grow for them. And then that will be available on a really a favored basis, even from the FAFSA, because it won't be seen as their asset, but it'll grow tax-free as long as it's used for qualified educational expenses. And again, you can get it back if they get scholarships, and you can roll it out to a Roth IRA if they don't use it. So again, that website, savingforcollege.com, and those grandkids will be thrilled to know that that's there, and their parents will as well, that they can use down the road for college. I hope that's helpful, Craig, and we appreciate you checking in with us today, my friend. Thanks for calling. Well, folks, we're so thankful to have you along with us today. It's always a joy to connect with you each morning and help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Check out our new website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Thanks to my team today, Mr. Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.